We've been lost at sea for months. Nary an eye for land. Don't know where we at. During our last battle, I lost all the instruments I had to guide our way.
Sir?
What?
How about using my GPS unit?
GPS? Dar's that?
Well, it'll guide our way. It'll show us exactly where on the Earth we are using satellite positioning.
Give me that. Looking forward, we don't know which direction to go because we don't know where to... What?
So, why don't we just use Google Maps and we can kind of figure out which way we're going?
Got no computer here.
Well, you can use my laptop. Here, I've got a computer here on board.
Enough with you. Off the short end of the plank with you. Get him!
No! Ah!
Arr, we do it the old-fashioned way. We steal it.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Arr!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show number 133 for August 17th, 2006. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm your host, Chuck Tabassi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm wunderbar, Charles.
Oh, good, good. This is going to be a bilingual show tonight. Oh, man.
Wee wee.
Oh, yes, a lot of it.
Oh.
It's going to be a good one tonight. We've got, coming up in tonight's show, what have we got?
Stuff.
We're
going to talk for a while.
It's going to be a really great podcast. Stick around.
Yeah, just trust me on this.
We've got a service callback from some guy who claims to know something about the RoboChuck 3000.
The alleged RoboChuck 3000.
We've got a trip inside an old DC-3.
An alleged DC-3.
And we've got proof there's intelligent life out there.
Alleged intelligent life.
We'll be back after On This Day in Tech History.
Yeah.
On This Day in Tech History for August 17th, 2006. This is August 17th, it's the 229th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 136 days left in 2006. It was on this date in 1807 that Robert Fulton's first American steamboat leaves New York City for Albany, New York, on the Hudson River, inaugurating the first commercial steamboat service in the world. And in 1969, Category 5 Hurricane Camille hits the Mississippi coast, killing 248 people and causing $1.5 billion worth of damage. Venera 7 is launched on this date in 1970. It will later become the first spacecraft to successfully transmit data from the surface of another planet, Venus. And on this date in 1978, Double Eagle 2 becomes the first balloon to cross the Atlantic Ocean when it lands in Misery near Paris, 137 hours after leaving Presque Isle, Maine. On this date in 1979, two Soviet Aeroflot jetliners collide in midair over Ukraine, killing 156 people. And an MD5 collision is found by Chinese researchers on this date in 2004. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1601 to French mathematician Pierre de Fermat. Hollywood producer Samuel Goldwyn was born on this date in 1882. And chess player Mikhail Botvinnik was born on this date in 1911. The U2 pilot Francis Gary Powers was born on this date in 1929. And NASA flight director Gene Kranz turned 73 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for August 17th, 2006.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
What the heck is an MD5 collision?
It's two hashes that hit each other.
I know what an MD5 is, an encryption algorithm, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, I followed the link on Wikipedia to this, and I cannot figure out what an MD5 collision is. I've heard of particle colliders, but not hash smashers. I'm sorry. I threw it in because I know what MD5 is, and I'll go, oh, that's tech. But then I kept reading it, going, MD5 collision found by Chinese researchers. What does that mean?
I think hash smashers are found in Amsterdam, actually.
And as Yorgo will tell you, Amsterdam is a country unto itself.
Yes.
It's like Texas.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
All right. We have some... Well, it's... you got to hear this. We left something in the shop.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Hello, Chuck and Craig. This is Ivan, down at Ivan's IRC Bot and Jet Ski Repair Center. I've been working on the RoboChuck 3000 that Craig dropped off here over 3 months ago, and I have some bad news for you. RoboChuck is hosed. However, I've got some refurbs here that customers have left and never picked up. I can give you a good deal on them. There's the Pedro Bot with the chunky salsa processor, or the Lenny Bot with the integrated pocket protection, and finally, I can give you a sweet deal on a jet ski with built-in Wi-Fi. Let me know, guys. See ya.
I'm up for the jet ski. How about you?
I don't know. I'll be scared to be surfing. Wait.
Jet ski sounds like someone who lives around here. This is a very highly Polish neighborhood in this part of Wisconsin.
Hello, I'm Mr. Jet Ski.
My name is Wi-Fi Jet Ski.
All right. Well, I may take him up on that offer.
Well, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like the RoboChuck is down for the count.
He'll be back. Maybe the 4000 will come out.
Ooh, upgrade. Does it have the Intel Duo-Core?
Duo-Core, and it runs OS X.
What do you say we do a shout-out to the wonderful chat room we've got tonight?
Okay. All you guys, get down and give me 20.
20 what?
20 IRC push-ups.
We've got Country Signs, a.k.a. Michelle, Mark Shepard, Michael G. Is he related to Kenny G? Yeah.
Continue, please.
I'm missing intellect. Scott Reynolds. You, me, Stingray, Tim Elliott, Vanderwolf, Zaha Country Signs, and Zaha Doom.
Zadim. Zadim, what's it?
They're all having fun. And we have someone in the listener birthday calendar.
Oh, finally.
Happy birthday to Jedi Kez, a.k.a. Brian from Winnipeg. He's celebrating his birthday on August 20th, which, if memory serves, is Sunday.
Happy birthday, Jedi Kez. Mm.
When you're older, you are.
Hey, pasa.
It's Spanish Yoda. That means his name starts L-L-O-D-A.
Comprende?
Actually, you know what? If you ever tried to read Spanish, the subject is before the predicate. How's that work?
It's no, different it's order.
Like, yeah, it's like a different order. So if you natively translate something, it's like, whoa. It does sound like Yoda. That's what I was getting at.
If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, visit the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. Click on the fun and games and you will see the listener birthday calendar there. We'd love to give you a shout out when your special day arrives.
Special.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will come back with the news. Like, how to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg and then they send it, and once it got there they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute.
2 BPM.
What? Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig.
This is Tornado Tim, Storm Chaser from Greeley, Colorado, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
And now, the news.
Wait. Oh, Chip QWERTY!
Over Pluto bringing lawsuits to Uranus. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip QWERTY reporting. Today in the 16th Circuit Court, a class action suit has been filed against NASA for incorrectly classifying Pluto as a planet when it is in fact not. Bringing the lawsuit is a group of science teachers from several school systems around the United States who believe that the lost time making children over the years memorizing the small planetoid could have been better spent elsewhere. Hargett Taylor, science teacher from Lewood High, says that the time adds up to a missed opportunity.
This is outrageous, that after all these years we've had to reinforce that there are 9 planets, and now they just up and reclassify Pluto. Our children could have spent that few extra moments learning something worthwhile, rather than something they'll never use. Not now.
Hargett went on to add that he will focus more on earthly studies, such as frog dissection. In other news, PETA has been in contact with Hargett after his recent comments. Chip QWERTY for Technorama News.
Won't someone think of the children?
Yes, won't they?
Hey, Chip, you know what? He gets around. He's quite the roving reporter.
That's right. And you know what's funny? How timely his report is, because today I saw that he was even on Slashdot, some other places, that they're actually proposing 3 new planets. Like, what the? You know, we're talking about taking Pluto away. Now they're going to add its moon and a couple other places and, I don't know, a rock somewhere. Well, if I launch a rock, they'll turn it into a planet.
Hey, what do you say we make Tutatis? You know, that potato-shaped asteroid? No,
sounds like I know exactly. I'll tell you what exactly I'm going to do. I'm going to take Diet Coke and Mentos and launch a rock into space. And get the prize from Mentos for launching something so cool, and then I'll have my own planet. I'll name it after myself.
The Step Moon? Makes it sound like it was adopted after it was remarried.
I don't know. I'll have to think of a good name.
All right, in some real news, Dell is going to recall 4.1 million laptop batteries due to, you guessed it, overheating and fire risk. Oh, man.
At least my... Hey, wait a minute. I'm running a Dell over here. Uh-oh. It's okay.
Is that a fire extinguisher I just heard? And yeah. we all know the story about how the batteries overheat and catch on fire. So they're going to recall 4.1 million batteries. We also have Google Talk adds voicemail and file sharing. You threw that in on me.
Yeah, it's the 1 year anniversary of Google Talk, which I personally like.
Has it been a year already?
That's what it says.
Wow.
It's been a year. So they added voicemail and file sharing to it. I can right click on somebody's name that has Google Talk installed and, you know, send them a file and voicemail. Just kind of cool.
We used to use that.
Do you like Google Talk?
I use it for people who like to use it, but I don't use it as my native VoIP thing.
No, not really. I don't really use it for VoIP at all, but I know it's daggum convenient when you're in Gmail. There it is.
Well, that's true. That's true.
As well as, you know, a native client. So I don't know. I don't know that you can really do file uploads through the web interface, but that'd be cool.
Yeah, true.
Yep. True dat, homie.
Excellent. Stream story time.
In our Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got Larry from over at securitypaul.com. Security Now. Hope I got that.
Weekly. Don't you?
Do it right.
Oh, you said it. I did not say
Security Weekly.
You know what? Those guys are going to get on us for saying Security Now.
No, you know, they love Steve Gibson so much. They're doing the show now, is what I meant.
What I'm saying is. Okay. They don't like Steve Gibson, and he does Security Now. And you're over there, Paul.com Security Now.
No, Larry is at Paul.com Security Weekly Now.
I'm sorry. I cannot associate myself with you anymore.
He said, I found a Jabra BT-110 Bluetooth headset this weekend at Staples on the discount rack for $17.50. A quick trip to Michael's Crafts, and I had some inspiration, and the seed was planted by RenderMan. 2 hours of some solder and hot glue, and I've got a new headset for my BlackBerry. You've got to see the pictures. They're over on Flickr, and he is actually
he took a styrofoam banana. Well, it's got a covering on it, so it looks like a fake banana. Like at your grandmother's house in a bowl on the table. He cut it in half, gutted it a little bit, and put that Jabra Bluetooth thing in there. It looks like a Bluetooth banana.
And it works. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, real quick break. We will be right back with the Media Corner.
Quick. I know where everybody would say, dang-a-gum, you're a geek.
How to cook an egg with your cell phone. You know, if somebody just made a cell phone like that, I'd buy it.
Or make eggs.
Does it take pictures and do all this other nonsense? I've got an MP3 player.
I've got my iPod video. I'm happy with that. I'm just not a converged device guy.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
Damn, beat it down. Beat it.
Do you know what a Tesla coil is, Craig?
Say, stick your tongue to this.
Oh, we lost Craig.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. These guys have nothing on James T. Kirk, and I should know.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
And over in the Media Corner, daggum, you're a geek. Over in the
William
Media
Shatner,
Corner, we have a
William
couple
Shatner
of links.
Ain't got nothing on me.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
We have a couple of links thanks to Victor Cajiao. Before we go on with that, we should mention that Victor is getting a lot of good publicity these days. His latest podcast, the Immigration Tales? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're like... Yeah, the stories about immigrants, and he started out with his tale from Cuba when he was 9 years old, is on the New and Notable, right up on the front page. And if you go to the technology page, his typical Mac user podcast is featured there.
I think he's paid somebody off, because he's like all over.
He was on MacCast, which probably got him a few new subscribers, which never hurts.
No, I just think there's something more here. Victor's doing something.
I think he knows something about the Apple
rating system that we don't.
He's got some dirt on Steve Jobs and Steve's okay, I'll just give you some front page coverage on iTunes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, he sent us a couple of links. One is to a Dancing Man website, which is kind of interesting. Have you had a chance to play around with this?
No, I have not.
There's
seen
a circle. This guy comes out. And he looks like he's wearing one of those motion control suits.
It says turn up the volume. Things. I better close it. It says turn up the volume. I better close it real quick.
Yeah, real quick. And you what you do is you put these. It's a circle, and you click on the circle around this dancing guy, and he'll dance to whatever beat you put together. You can control the tempo and whatnot, and then you can play the little beat, and you can even save it for later. It's kind of neat. It's a good demonstration of some Web 2.0 technology.
You can save it for later? Hold on. I'm going to do it right here while we're on the line.
All
right. Loading 30 to 50, 60. That's counting faster than I am. It's like a video game.
Well, no, that's just the loading screen.
Oh, I see.
There's also another one while you're loading and playing
Piotr.
With that.
I love music.
Hello, Piotr.
I thought that was you for a minute.
No, I talk better than that. I have better English. I love music.
Oh, do you?
I am engineer. I play with computers. I have
I just
new
closed
mouse.
It up. Peroto, the musical man. Oh, I almost got the
you
high score.
You did it again?
Yeah. Yeah, accident. Yeah. Come on, Pac-Man.
I'm Piotr.
I got next game.
I love
game.
Music. I love dancing. And I love engineering.
Wunderbar.
Combining my passions, I have created a suit that allows me to become music.
America loves Smirnoff.
All right.
On the site, you can simulate and enjoy. Enough.
Are you
enjoy.
Done?
Here we go. It's coming up now. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
the suit that makes.
And then you complete the pattern around the circle, and then you hit the little dot at the top of the circle, and he starts dancing. It's kind of cool. There's also another one that demonstrates good Web 2.0 stuff called SpamRecycling.com.
There you go. So
now, what you hear doesn't really go. It goes with what you see on the screen, but obviously that doesn't translate well on a podcast. It's a very visually interactive thing.
That's pretty cool. Random.
After a while, it looks like the dancing guy is having a seizure.
He looks like he's... Well, he looks like he's a reject from Tron.
Or someone dumped itching powder down that Lycra suit. A reject from Tron.
Yeah. Well, he's like green and all, but he looks like he belongs
anyone
in Tron.
Anyone seen my light cycle? There's another one for spam recycling,
be in Tron 16.
Which you can actually point it to your spam folder and... It's kind of cool. It makes this nice pattern artworky thing. It says, why not make art out of your spam? Thanks to Victor for those two links. Definitely Technorama material. You got the
and
next
it looks,
story.
Yeah, it looks like David Copperfield found the Fountain of Youth. Jeez whiz. Imagine that.
And then he made it disappear.
Yeah. And he can't prove it because he made it disappear. He bought some islands off of, what do I think it said, around Bermuda or something like that. He bought a set of four islands, and of course, get this, you can come to his private resort that rents for up to $300,000 a week. Could be planning my next vacation. So, he says that he found the Fountain of Youth is there, and he's hired people to come and verify it.
Right.
So, we'll see. He bought these islands for $50 million. I thought that was a pretty good deal.
Didn't they do something like that on Technorama, and they said, no, what? We don't need a fountain of youth. We need a fountain of intelligence.
On Technorama?
No, Futurama.
Oh.
Maybe it's Jimmy Jet. I know I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, it's somewhere. But
we've got enough youth. We need a fountain of intelligence.
We do need that here on Technorama.
What are you saying?
No, nothing, Jet. Let's move right along. Shatner is returning as Kirk.
I can't believe this wonderful news.
Damn you, Technorama. Anyway, he's returning in a Star Trek game called Legacy. He's been in Star Trek Academy. That's right. He was in Academy. I actually liked Academy. It was pretty cool. He was returning as Kirk in Star Trek Legend. He would play the captain. I think there's several captains in there, if not all of them, so that we've seen so far.
Will he
far.
Be sitting in that black chair that just goes boop, boop?
Yeah. Yeah, he returned as Kirk, but we forgot to tell you he's not speaking.
He just sits there with a blank expression.
Boop. One for yes and two for no. Boop,
boop. Use the dot.
Yeah. So.
And speaking of things that are coming back.
Yeah. Apparently Chris Berluck. I'm having that problem again. I'm just quit drinking beer during the podcast.
Chris
Perillo was talking to Leo Laporte and trying, you know, seeing if they could brainstorm about how to get Tech TV reunion is what it was. I was like, why would you really need a reunion? We hear all these people every time, all the time anyway. It's not like they went anywhere. But they were talking about pushing all these shows that everybody's doing together and starting Undo TV, which would be web-based tech news. And it would bring back a lot of the Tech TV people back. So we'll see. I don't know if that's going to go fly so easy.
You never know.
No, I don't know. If I did know, I would know.
What do you say?
You know?
You know? What do I know?
Yeah.
I know that I'm looking for the next clip that I forgot to throw in the playlist. Keep talking.
Well, here, I'll do a song and dance.
Okay, we're done.
Okay. I didn't even have to get out of my chair good.
Be right back. My name's Chuck, by the way.
Tom Selensky from Oklahoma City.
Tom, and what are we on board?
This is the FAA's last DC-3 N-34. From 1958 to 1981, this aircraft did a mission called flight inspection. We calibrate all the nav aids that all pilots use to fly between point to point during IFR weather across the country and some places internationally.
Now, this is similar to something I wrote in, I'll say about 25 years ago, a DC-3 that just hopped from mainland to an island.
Mm-hmm.
How does this one differ from something like that?
Well, for starters, this one has always been in government service. It was completed in 1945 by the Air Force and the Army Air Corps at what is Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma City today. That was a Douglas plant back then. It went to work for the Navy as an R-4D-7 transport from 1945 till 1954. They surplused it, said they didn't need it anymore. The FAA got a hold of it, and we put it in this configuration in 1958 and operated that way till 1981.
And you say this is still flyable condition.
It's currently airworthy. It's just out of annual right now. Spend about 3 weeks doing a thorough inspection and sign off the paperwork. She'd be legal to fly.
It's terrific. I can just imagine the stories that are in this plane.
Well, just going to air shows, it's amazing that the people we meet on board here and how appreciative they are of the history of this airplane and grateful that a little part of the government keeps it flying and keeps it coming to air shows so they can share it.
What is the annual cost on just roughly on maintaining something like this?
It really varies from year to year. The critical factor my boss looked at in 2004 is for all the people on board that come to visit it at all the various air shows, Reno, Arlington, Sun and Fun, Oshkosh, the Dayton Air Show, the Oklahoma City Air Show, it cost the government, cost my part of the FAA, 16 cents a head.
That's fair. Here, I'll give you a quarter out of my pocket and cover my kids, too. So you really get around. How much airtime does this see a year, roughly?
Worst year, we put in about 300 hours. When we had the most amount of money. Back during the centennial, we participated in the National Air Tour that went over the eastern states with the 1920s, 1930s vintage airplanes. The funny thing on that one is we were the new airplane built in 1945. We were also the fastest airplane. We'd leave the airport last and get there first. But we participated in that on the centennial flight, December 12th. We flew over Kitty Hawk with all the other airplanes. So it's kind of interesting when the FAA wants to have a good flying PR item, this is the airplane.
Amazing. And where does this plane call home?
When it's flying, we keep it at the FAA's main facility in Oklahoma City at Will Rogers World Airport. When it's not flying, we work with Basler Turbo Conversions here in Oshkosh to keep it stored for us.
Hey, you know what? We're going to have to take this show up a notch with the Spice Weasel.
Booy! Bam!
Bam! All right, right into the Geek Library. It's all yours.
Yeah, right into the Geek Library. Let me get back up here. I wanted to point out to everybody that George Starcher from In the Trenches fame has put together a child safety flyer for children, or, you know, looking out for your children online, and has a lot of resources, and I thought I'd point everybody over to that since we hadn't really mentioned it since we posted it. It's over in the Friends in Tech feed, You can find it at that site, and I've got a link directly to it. He has a lot of good information on there, talking about services and equipment that you can buy to help monitor what your children do if you're into that kind of thing, or, you know, just keep an eye on what they're doing.
Good idea.
I think it is a good idea.
There's proof that there's intelligent life out there, Craig.
I doubt it.
Why?
Oh, wait, here they are. They made the aliens came down and made a Firefox logo in the crop.
A crop circle.
It's a lot of crop.
You know, shaped like the little Firefox circular logo. I think it makes sense. Are they going to do a Thunderbird one, too?
Yeah, right beside it. No, the students planned out, and if you look through their gallery of pictures, they really spent some time planning this out. But they drew out a graph and had exactly where everybody was going to go and made the Firefox logo in a wheat field. And like I said, it's pretty impressive. You can see a aerial picture with cars kind of giving, you know, beside it on the edge of the crop to kind of give you a scale, what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, I encourage everybody to go over there and look at the gallery and see all the effort that they made. It's pretty cool.
Do you use Picasa?
Absolutely. That's an awesome program. I like it better than iPhoto.
What's new?
Well, they're just talking at this point, and there's no real features to, you know, to speak of other than they were talking about, I think Google acquired a company or hired somebody that has been working on face recognition,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking about putting that into Picasa. And that would be awesome if I can say, well, here's a picture of Chuck. Go find me all the pictures of Chuck. You know, be able to search through your pictures for objects or faces.
That seems like it would be kind of tough to do. Yeah, because I'm not always at the same angle, or, you know, sometimes I'm making faces.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I don't know how that works, and I really haven't explored how to do that, or the ideas behind it. But I think it's kind of cool. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if I could say, well, show me all the pictures of Chuck. Here's one to go find it, Bloodhound.
You'd get Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. The internet's awesome because of Chuck Norris.
He'd give you a roundhouse kick to the Google.
Hey, here's your picture. Yeah. No, and I mean, tell me, wouldn't that be cool? Show me all the lampposts.
I'm looking for cats. Do a search on cats on Flickr.
Search for dumb rocks, and then, hey, there's all the pictures of Chuck. Oh, well. Anyway, the next story, not really the story, it's more like a link, goes over to 43 Folders, who actually points us over to another article talking about doing Windows GTD on Windows. Wait a minute. GTD, your Getting Things Done program, on Windows, some of the software that you can use, and what kind of kicks us off, if they have a big thing, they point to an article talking about the Kinkless GTD, which uses several software applications on OS X to tie a lot of information together, like from your mail to your calendar and everything, kind of make it all seamless to follow a workflow for all your tasks and whatnot. Well, they have some applications and some tips that you can use in Outlook or in other applications to do the same sort of thing on Windows, but I don't think it's quite as seamless. But you can go check it out.
I'm going to have to check that out. You know,
go check it out.
I'm all about getting things done.
Let's get out of here.
Okay, we're getting out of here.
Sorry, this wasn't one of our better shows, but you know what? We'll work on it next time. It's always next time.
Yeah. 2 times a week to try and get it right.
Yeah. We'll do better next time, I promise.
Craig, I don't have a picture of you for the expo presentation yet. You gonna give me
one? Getting ready to. I'm gonna weigh you down with so many pictures of myself.
I'm gonna be changing like pictures every second.
Picture me, someone else. Throughout the whole presentation.
Actually, I could stick in the Adam Curry one where you're lifting his wallet from last year.
That'd be funny. Maybe that's why he's not coming again this year.
Someone done stole my wallet.
Damn kids.
All right, if you want to get in touch with us, send us a voicemail by calling the listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can get in touch with us at email, chuck@chuckchat.com, or Craig, K-R-E-G. You know what? Before we go, I just feel like a Geek Thoughts. What do you think? I'm going to stop.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's do that. Just since we're already off track.
In a corporation where all computers have exactly the same configuration, no two are alike. Technorama reminds you to geek responsibly by visiting chuckchat.com.
I just thought, since this show's already off the track, we might as well throw that at the end.
Wait a minute, did you say that, or did it? Was that
right? No, the clip said that.
Because as soon as it finished talking, you just kind of blended in there, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good, Chuck.
Chuck. Technorama reminds you to geek responsibly at chuckchat.com. Okay, right. Craig is K-R-E-G at chuckchat.com. There's always the website, the one constant in the universe, at www.chuckchat.com for all your forums, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and spice weasels galore.
Yes. Gotta remember the spice weasel.
We don't have any friends, but if we did, you could certainly find them at Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. All the forums to the member shows are at forums.friendsintech.com.
Hey, was the spice weasel in Dune?
No.
It was Paul Muad'Dib's pet.
Hit it, riff man on the guitar. There we go. Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. Chat room by freenode.net. Lots of people in there having a good time every Wednesday night and Sunday night, Central Time, 8:30 p.m.
I just like it when you say spice weasel.
He said spice weasel. If you're getting the show by clicking on the link on the website, ooh, booyah! Get yourself an aggregator podcatching client and get it delivered automatically for free. Please tell a friend about Technorama. Share the infection. I mean, it's infectious. Thanks for listening. As always, binary high
101.
Five.
101, y'all.
Do it again.
101, y'all.
Do it again.
What? 101, y'all.
Take care, everybody. Bye now.
Later.